with him. Well, this week we're going to continue forward. It's the last week of our prayers that we find in the Bible. Now, I got to tell you, this is not permission for you to stop looking at the prayers in the Bible, okay? Because there's many more than what I've covered over the last few weeks. So I want you to keep, you know, looking at them and reading through them and praying them yourselves and seeing what God would say to you and speak to you through those prayers. And so we're going to continue one last time before our Lent season, and we'll start on a different series next week as we join together during the 40 days that lead up to what we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday. And so today we're going to look at the prayers of Paul. And so to give you a little bit of heads up, each week, you know, we've had one particular scripture that we've looked at. And this week, you're going to be doing some Bible hopping. Because I know some of you, you know what I mean by Bible hopping? I saw some of you go like this, so you're already excited. I like that. and we're going to look at multiple scriptures today. We're actually going to be looking through Colossians and Philippians and Ephesians and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And so some of you might get lost, perhaps flipping back and forth between all of those. So we are going to have them on the screen for you to aid you. But I love when I know that you have your Bibles open or your electronic device open to your Bible. But I'm just kind of giving you the heads up. If you think we're going to land on just one verse today, we're going to be various places. So unlike the previous weeks, we're going to look at several that Paul prays about. And if you know, leading up to this week, we started off looking at the Lord's Prayer. We looked at the prayer of Jabez. We looked at Hannah's prayer, Daniel's prayer. We've looked at several. And last week, we even looked at the priestly prayer, a prayer that Jesus prayed. And so, but today, we're going to look at some of the things that Paul prayed about. So to start off, we're going to be looking in the book of Colossians to start things off. And so if you can open up to Colossians chapter 1, right at the very beginning of that book. And again, we should have them up on the screen for you, Steve. Is that correct? Okay, good, sweet. Just wanted to make sure technology was going to help me here. So Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 12 to you. So if you'll follow along there in God's Word. Verse 9 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." This is our first scripture that we'll read of God's word. Basically, what Paul prays here, what he's praying for, is for you to see him expound. You know, you'll see him expound. If you've ever read through the entire book of Colossians, and I hope that you have, he kind of goes into more. I saw a few of you go like this. Well, let me encourage you. Read Colossians someday, okay? But he goes on to talk about it, and specifically in chapter 3, he gets kind of to the nuts and bolts of how the things he prays for get accomplished. You'll see in Paul's writing, quite often he'll use these three words. He uses the phrase, "for this reason." You'll see that in some of his writings and prayers. And so in the preceding verses, Paul highlights their faith in Christ and their love for the saints. He mentions that the gospel has been bearing fruit and has been growing among them. Amen? That's a good thing. It's been bearing fruit and growing. Therefore, Paul wants them to continue in this way. He wants to continue down this path and keep the ministry thriving. That should be our desire today. We should be the same way, that we are growing in our relationship with Christ, that our faith is being strengthened, and people are coming to know Christ. When we hear about how well someone is doing, honestly, unlike the world, oftentimes in the world, you hear about somebody perhaps at work who's succeeding and getting ahead and doing well, and they're just succeeding in every way. And oftentimes in the work world, it'd be like, I wish that was me, right? That's sometimes what we see in the world. But in the church, in the community of believers, we should be saying amen. We should be cheering them on. We should be encouraged by what's going on in their life. And I think that's something that we see in Paul's prayers. And so another thing that you'll see in many of Paul's prayers is that he prays for you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. What a tremendous prayer for his people. To be filled with the knowledge of his will. Paul wants the Colossian church in this particular case to fully know the will of God in their lives. He wants them to be filled with the knowledge of his will and what his desire is for them and how he wants them to grow. If you don't have to flip there right now, but if you look at the beginning of Romans chapter 12, it tells us that when I choose to no longer be conformed, some of you may know this. I know this was a quizzing memorization thing several years ago. When we choose to no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world and instead be transformed by the renewing of my mind, I will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You probably know that from Romans chapter 12. You know, I think it's really hard, and I'll just speak for myself. I don't know that I can really be filled with the knowledge of God's will if I'm not able to determine and agree with and understand and even know what God's will is. Oftentimes, I hear people say, and perhaps you've had people say this to you, you know, I have a hard time knowing what God wants. I don't know what my life is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what he wants from me. I don't know what his will is for me. And then you kind of, you dig into that a little bit further and you have conversations and you talk through. And, you know, for me, it's one of the things I always talk about is, are you in the Word daily? Are you in prayer daily? Do you have someone that you're able to grow with and perhaps even lean on and push you? And they're like, well, yeah, I haven't read the Bible in a while. Well, how do you know it? Of course you don't know what God's will is for your life. You're not in his word. You know, yeah, it was a great time of prayer I had last week. And so it's a hit or miss thing for you. How are you supposed to determine what the will of God's life is or to know what he's speaking to you when you spend no time with him? You know, for any of you that are married or have been married or you probably understand that if I were to be in a relationship, if Michelle and I were to be in a relationship and yet I talk to her once a month, I don't know how strong our relationship's going to be. If I spend time with her every 15 days, how strong is our relationship going to be? What are we going to know about each other? You know, there are sometimes, and I say, I feel like I'm picking on young people when I say this, but it just happens to be younger. Most likely you're younger when you start your dating process, right, at some point. And you see people who are dating and they're like, yeah, I probably should get together with so-and-so, or I should probably get together with, you know, this person. I really like them. We're dating, but I haven't seen them in a week. What's the likelihood of your relationship growing and going somewhere and being active and being fruitful? Right? If you're spending no time with them. I remember when Michelle and I were dating, we saw each other daily, right? We saw each other all the time. We were spending time talking and getting to know each other. And what's the word I want? We were intensely fellowshipping about those things we disagreed on. You guys know what I mean by intense fellowship? We call that arguing in the world, but we were intensely fellowshipping about the things that we disagreed with. But that's how we got to know each other and we grow. So Paul's desire when we read his prayers is that we would grow in spiritual wisdom, that we would grow in understanding. And so I'm going to look at a part of James here. And James chapter 3, I'm going to read this to you. James chapter 3, verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And I love reading that part. I love that part of James's book. I mean, you guys know I like James. But I read that too. Yeah, I know. I had to get James in there somewhere, right? But I love the fact that, you know, the wisdom that we get from heaven is pure and peace-loving and considerate and submissive and full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You know, oftentimes we look at the world and worldly wisdom is, well, worldly wisdom can be dangerous. It can be dangerous because it draws us away from what God's desire is. And it draws us away at times because it gets us thinking about other things and oftentimes supplants God to be at the center of who we are. But if we are truly wise and understanding, we recognize our need for God. If we are humble and we realize that really apart from God, we can't accomplish much. We can't accomplish much, especially for the kingdom, apart from him. You know, the world's wisdom, I think sometimes, I think about the things that I've learned in the world. And I feel like when I look back on it, sometimes it can be very manipulative and deceptive and coercive. And it's just, it's kind of the wisdom of the world. It almost seems like, and if you've ever paid attention to the news at all, those that get ahead in a worldly way, it almost feels like it's dishonest sometimes. Because it's not that worldly wisdom is bad. It's a good thing. I got to tell you, I loved learning about science. And, you know, I have now a son who's a science major who's taken that and made me look like I was an idiot as far as what I know about science. I thought I knew a lot. And so worldly wisdom is a good thing, and we learn tremendous things, and we use abilities that God has given us for wonderful things. But oftentimes, I think the world wants to lead us down a different path. You know, Paul, when he talks and when Paul prays and we see in his words, oftentimes I think Paul is saying that if we're to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, and have spiritual wisdom and understanding, we need to have the attributes that God wants to pour into us. He wants us to be totally transformed. And for us to be able to please the Lord and work in his will, you know, and to bear fruit. Because after all, we want to do that. We want to bear fruit for God and God's kingdom. And I think that's Paul's desire for us, is for us to grow in that and to understand. And so, you know, Paul uses some words, and I wrote these down here, and he uses some words and some sentences and phrases that I think are very important for us to understand. And so he uses word choices like, I wish to fill you with the knowledge. He's asking for God to fill us with knowledge, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He prays for the people to please the Lord in every way. He wants the people to bear fruit in every good work. He wants the people to be strengthened in the power. You know, Paul didn't just want them to have some things. He wants them to have everything that God wants to pour out to them. He wanted them to be full, to be filled up with God's love and knowledge and wisdom and power. And I think we should pray that way too. We should learn from Paul's prayer and many prayers and pray that we are filled to his fullness, that we are strengthened and filled up, and that we overflow into the world around us. Well, let me move on to Philippians chapter 1. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, it'll be up on the screen. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 9, 10, and 11, and it says this. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul's prayer here for the Philippians is that their love would abound. How much could we change our world today if love just abounded from us, if love just overflowed from us and poured out, to increase, to just be so filled up with love for other people that we desired to just help others and love them. You know, love is meant to grow. It's not just something we possess. It's not just a feeling we have inside. Love is to grow and to abound and overflow. It's meant to increase and grow. It's meant to change the world around us. I think it's interesting that Paul, when he prayed that their love would abound in knowledge and depth of insight, that this that he does this, and it goes along with what we talked about in Colossians chapter 1. It's about being filled with God's knowledge, about being filled with the Spirit, about being filled with His love. And so that love doesn't just something that we feel, but it is something that is present and it's grouped together. If you want to move over to Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 19. And we continue to look at another prayer that Paul has for us. And we see these words. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So another prayer that we have. Paul saw the value of being able to understand the love of Jesus. Paul said it surpasses all knowledge. So I find that interesting. For we live in a world that values knowledge. How smart are you? How much information do you know? And Paul says love surpasses all knowledge. It is beyond our ability to completely make sense of our own. But love overwhelms all. So if we can grasp that, if we can understand the importance of that and be convinced of that, how might we change the world? How might our lives be changed knowing and reading these prayers? You know, I think about, oftentimes you'll hear me talk about things in the church like sanctification. I talked about it a couple weeks ago, right? Talked about this process that we are on to be sanctified holy. And we see a little bit of that in another prayer of Paul's from 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to go there in just a minute as a heads up, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians. And I think about this life of living a sanctified life. And I think you're going to hear me talk about this a lot. This process of being made more like Christ. To grow closer to Him. To be more Christ-like. Because I think if we can do that and truly live a sanctified life, we will impact and change the world around us more than we can probably ever fathom. More than we will ever know. Sometimes even more than we will ever even have someone tell us. We can impact the world around us in tremendous ways. And so let's read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 16 through 24. We see this as Paul's prayer. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. This life of sanctification. And although this passage doesn't specifically include words like prayer or may God, oftentimes we see that in our prayers, he's asking for something of God here in 1 Thessalonians. He's asking for him to do something, to sanctify his people. You know, the desire for God to sanctify them is not to say, okay, you're sinless, or okay, you're blameless. Because we are sinful people. We are fallen. And we do hold blame for that. But he's asking for God to cleanse them and purify them. and make them more like him in his image. And so I want, you know, at the heart of it is I want to talk about that. And I want to ask you a very direct question. I've talked to you about sanctification many times. I hope that you understand, at least on a, even if it's just a basic level. How many of you, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. How many of you think that you understand what living a sanctified looks like, even on a basic level? Like you could give me just a easy, this is what sanctification. So if you were put on the spot, the district superintendent walked up here and had every one of you line up one after another and say, give me just one or two sentences, three sentences. Tell me what a sanctified life looks like. Explain that to me. How many of you? A few of you. Man, I got my work cut out then. I got to work on that. The sanctified life, I've shared that with you before. Really, we make things complicated, and it can be complicated, but it really comes down to this very simple matter. I'm going to boil this down to a kindergarten level for you, okay? So if anybody were asked you, what does a sanctified life look like? It means that, one, it starts off because I have repented of my sins. I have accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior for him to be Lord in my life. That's the starting point, okay? That's where we begin. A lot of times the churchy words we use is that that's initial sanctification. It's where it started. It's that initial, okay? And then we have what we call complete sanctification. It's where we start living a life more like Christ. We start living a life. It doesn't, you know, it's a journey. You don't, you can't get to Arizona where the Reds are right now by being there. I don't care how fast a plane you get in. You can't be there right now. It's a journey, okay, to get there. And so to be completely sanctified, it's a journey, but unlike going to see the Reds, we're going to see Christ. And so we're going to do everything we can to be more like him. Does that make sense? So for all of you that didn't raise your hand, there's a basic understanding, all right? It is so that I can be more Christ-like in my life, that I can draw closer to be him, or closer to him. It is me being more like Christ. So there you go. Very simple, and I probably even said it longer than I should have. But I want to make sure you understand that because it should be our desire. Paul's desire in these scriptures, these prayers that we read in scripture, is that God just pours out into them, that their lives are changed, that their lives are impacted. And I got to tell you, that's my desire for you, for us, all of us, for us to be more Christ-like in all that we do. And As we go through these, and you know, I was going to share a scripture with you out of 2 Thessalonians, but honestly, I kind of want to stop right there. I really do. I feel like, you know, there's times I've been up here, and I just feel like God's putting something on my heart. And so I hope you're okay. I'm diverting just a little bit, but I just feel like God is just telling me, we need to get this as a church. We need to understand this. It's not just churchy words. It's just not something that you learn as a theologian or as a pastor. You know, I have to be able to explain sanctification in depth. I have to be able to say, you know, I don't need you to do that. I just need you to understand the process. If you are a believer in Christ, you need to understand this, that it isn't just about, God, forgive me. I'm good. I'm out. See ya. No. It's about a changed life. It's about a life being different. It's about Christ being lived out through you. It's so that people in the world make statements to you. It makes me laugh every time it happened years ago, and it still makes me laugh. I had someone that I knew through work that said, you're one of those church people, aren't you? Still not sure really what that meant, but I get the idea. And when I think about that, is there a greater thing to be told? You're one of those church people, right? Because what that means is there's something about Christ they saw in me. Thank goodness. Because I think I'd rather have someone say to you, you're one of those church people. Or maybe you've been at work somewhere, or you've been in your neighborhood, or you've been stopped, and it's like, you're one of those Christians. Can you pray for me? When someone comes to you and says, would you be willing to pray for me? And they don't really know you well, that well. Why would they ask you to pray for you? Because they saw something about you that is different. They know that you have something that perhaps they don't. And so being sanctified and understanding that, and understanding that, you know what? You don't have to be called to the pastorate vocationally like you and I have felt that call. We are all called as believers. We are all to live a sanctified life. We are all to be overflowing with the Spirit of God, to understand and to shine that light into the world. So I really want us to get this sanctification thing. Because if you come here, and I got to tell you, I am thankful for everybody that walks in this building. I truly am. I don't mean that as just a statement that somebody says. I want more people to come here, not because of numbers, because I want them to come and hear the word of Christ. My job is to preach and teach the word. And I hope I'm always true to that. It is one of my number one prayers, is to make sure that I always do that. And so I want lives to be changed. I want them to be impacted. And us as a church, I want us to be holy, completely, entirely sanctified people, living out the life of Christ everywhere we go. You know, I don't want you to just be, yep, I went to church on Sunday, check, did my duty. No, it's not about doing duty. It's about being changed. It's about the world being changed around us. You know what? You don't have, again, like I said, you don't have to be called to be up here in front of a pulpit. We are all called. So you can be salesmen. You can be counselors. You can be plumbers. You can be electricians. You can be housewives. You can be, I don't know, the list goes on. I'm looking around. I'm trying to remember what every one of you do. every vocation, we are called to share the love of Christ, to overflow and just have that flow out of us. You know, it's got to be a tremendous, Doris, I don't know why I always go to you for some reason, but I do. But it's got to be a tremendous blessing for someone to come in and that you are waiting on and them say that they notice something different about you. I mean, to say, hey, can you pray for me? Or, hey, they can say that a whole lot of different ways. And I know that that's happened. And the impact that you make with other people that you work with. I mean, it's got to be a tremendous feeling to be able to know that Christ is being shown out through your life. And you're making a difference in your world. And, you know, for some of you, you know, not only do you work with other people, but you work with family, right? And all the good and the bad of that. But to shine Christ's love to those that we work with and that we're, oh yeah, we're related to. And to be able to speak in their lives. And some of you, I know you work in situations where you come across people who really need it. They need the love of Christ more than they will ever know because their lives are a mess. Their lives are a mess. And by the way, that is not excluded to people outside of the church. There are people in the church. There are people in our families who are a wreck, who are a mess, and the world has gotten a hold of them. Satan has gotten his hands on them. And messed with them in a bad way. And we can just shine that love into them. And so we can look at a lot of these prayers of Paul. And it's important for us to understand them and know them and read them and pray them. So that they become a part of our lives. So that we then can overflow with Christ's love. So sanctification. How many of you think you could now give me a basic understanding of sanctification? I can really boil it down to this, to be more Christ-like. That's about as simple as I can make it, okay? To be more Christ-like. And you don't do that by just simply coming and hearing me on a Sunday morning. You need to be in the Word. You need to spend time in prayer. You know, I heard somebody say just the other day, I was talking about two guys that I have that I meet with in accountability. And they're like, oh, do people still do that? Yes, you should. Do you have one or two people that you can go to about everything and anything? You know, I just met with one of my accountability guys, and honestly, we were pushing each other about something. We were pushing each other hard about something. And that's what it should be. So I need you to spend... No, I don't need you. You need to spend time in the Word. You need to spend time praying. You need to start drawing closer to God. And then you need to have a group of people around you that you can lean on, that you can pray for. You can be there for each other. You can help build each other up and grow in Christ. That is that sanctified life. My desire is for every one of you to know and understand what it is to be holy and completely sanctified. It's not just a church term. You know, I talked to you last week about small group Sunday school classes. I really don't care what title you put on it. I really don't. Whether it's meeting at 9:30 on a Sunday morning, that's great. We call it Sunday school. Whether it's meeting at 5 o'clock on a Sunday night, whether it's meeting at 10 a.m. on a Friday morning, I don't care. But you need to be a part of a small group to grow in Christ, to grow in the Word, to lean on each other, and to grow more like Christ. We need those small groups. And I challenged you last week to be a part of one. If you're not in one, you need to get in one. You need to be a part of one. You know, I got to tell you, I was really excited, and I haven't had the time since he told me. We have one of you in this very congregation who's trying to do that using electronic media. I know, shock, right? We have this ability to grow small groups and groups of people together to learn more about Christ electronically. I'm anxious to go back and see what they posted and hear what they talked about. I love the fact that we can use this. You know, let's just be honest, Facebook, you can see one or two things that are kind of negative on Facebook. One or two. That's about all. But we can use it to our good. We can use it to the benefit of the kingdom, to grow the kingdom. And then we can even do crazy things, like talking over the fence to our neighbor, sitting on the front porch. Yeah, we live in these type of neighborhoods. What you doing over there? How about we walk through the fence and we see our neighbors and we talk to them and share? I know, kind of old school and crazy, right? We don't do that anymore. Why not? Why not? So I look at these prayers of Paul and his desire for God's love and wisdom to be poured out to us. Can we actively be looking to do that? And not just say, yep, I came to church. Check. It's on my to-do list. I opened my Bible this week. Pastor, you should be thankful. I don't know why I should be thankful. I would think you would want to desire to be opening His Word, to grow in your knowledge of Him. I got to tell you, since accepting Christ, I've shared my story with you guys a little bit. And, you know, the board members know it intensely before I ever came. I didn't grow up in church like some of the benefit of some of our kids. I didn't accept Christ until I was in my 20s. I got to tell you, my life isn't perfect. I still have things that go wrong in my life. You know, we had an incident in our house this week. We actually had an accident in our own driveway. We were able to take out two cars in one instance. Okay? How fun is that? So things still happen. Things still go wrong. But I got to tell you, since accepting Christ, my life has been different. Been drastically different and better. Doesn't mean everything goes right. Doesn't mean everything goes exactly as planned. But things happen. But my life is so much better for it. Knowing the love of Christ, having Him just pour into me, and having other people that I can walk along life with. So here's my desire. Continue reading Paul's prayers. Continue reading the prayers that you find in Scripture. Grow in your knowledge of Him. This isn't where you just go, well, there's church, set that aside, I'll be back next week. No, every day. Every day. Going to church isn't something you do. Being a believer is who you are. So that should be our desire. So if you guys will do me a favor and stand, I would like to close in prayer. And I would like to just challenge you to offer up a prayer to God and ask for His assistance. And if you need to come down to the altar, please feel free to come down and ask God to just speak into your life on a daily basis, to put the desire of His heart on your heart, to know Him better, to be in relationship and reflect who He is more on a daily basis. And I think our lives will be changed and our world will be changed. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the prayers of our nation and praying for our nation. You want to change our nation? Let's change us first. Amen. Let's change ourselves first. I think we'd have a tremendous impact to changing our nation by us being changed ourselves. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just love You. Father, we love not only who You are, but what You are, how You are, and we love the fact that You desire a relationship with us. Father, we just ask. We ask for You to just continue. We know that You are constantly calling us to You. May our hearts be warmed and softened to that call that You place upon us. That we grow closer to You. That we have a desire to shine Your light into the world. That we have a desire to be more Christ-like. Father, I hope and I pray for a fire and a passion amongst us here. Our family of believers. A fire and a passion for us to just know You more. Father, go with us as we leave this place. Go with us. Continue to call us to You. And Father, we just want to shine Your light and be more Christ-like. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen.